Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, today we're going to begin a study of the individual items on the ninefold fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. We read in verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." And the first item on the list, as we know, is love. And I'd like to call this the crown jewel on the diadem. If we think of this ninefold fruit of the Spirit as being a crown that is worn upon the Christian's head, which displays the beauty of Christ in his life, and each of these nine characteristics as being a different gem in that diadem, then we should think of love as the most prominent jewel, the one right in the center, and the largest one of all. You recall what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when he concluded that chapter, that great chapter on love, by saying, "Now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." The greatest of these is love. And that's indicated, I think, by its mention in the fruit of the Spirit in position number one. So the crown jewel on the diadem, namely love, and the way we're going to examine this is to see, number one, its strategic position, number two, its essential meaning, third, its primary focus, and finally, its practical application. First of all, its strategic position. As we've already pointed out, it's first in the list of nine. And it is obviously the fountain from which the others flow. When you have this wonderful quality of love in your life, then these other qualities flow more readily, flow more easily. As long as we are sons of Adam and still living in the flesh, they're not going to flow effortlessly. They never will. But nevertheless, love is the key. When you have love, you will have greater joy and greater peace. When you have love, you will have long-suffering and kindness and goodness. When you have love, you will have greater faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And so it is, in many ways, the fountain from which the others flow. It's not only first in this list, but as you know, it is first in the commandments. Remember what Paul said earlier in verses 13 and 14 of the same chapter. "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And here Paul calls love the fulfillment of all of the law. Actually, that's true, even though Paul is only concentrating upon the second greatest commandment, namely to love your neighbor as yourself. It's also true of the first of the greatest commandments. Both of them depend upon love, don't they? What's the first and greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it. Why is it like unto it? Because it also flows from love. The second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. And so love is the first position in the commandments. If we love God as we ought to love him, we'll have no difficulty with any of the other requirements that he has. If we love our neighbor as we are commanded to love him or her, we'll have no difficulty fulfilling all of the other commandments that pertain to others. Love is first in the fruit of the Spirit. Love is first in the commandments that are the representation of our requirements toward God and toward others. And you recall that love was first with Christ and his apostles. Do you recall what Jesus said in John 13, verses 34 and 35? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. What a commandment! Jesus calls it a new commandment. But as we know, it's not the first time this commandment has been given, but it has now been infused with new meaning, new purpose, new power. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now that makes it new. When that commandment was given in the book of Leviticus to the children of Israel, that they should love their neighbor as theirself, there was no divine example. There was no God-man to show them what that looks like and how that should be done. But now there is. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. In other words, love one another the way Jesus has loved his disciples. Love one another, dear friends, the way Jesus has loved you. That's a high standard. In fact, it's the highest standard of all. It's difficult enough to love your neighbor as much as you love yourself, but how are you going to love your neighbor as much as Christ has loved you and given himself for you? That is a high standard indeed. But Jesus said, by this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. That's supposed to be the most characteristic mark of Christians. The greatness, the obvious nature of, the manifestation of their love for one another. No wonder the devil fights this tooth and nail. No wonder Satan is busy doing everything he can to cause Christians to wrangle and fight and divide and manifest an ugly spirit toward one another. Why? Because that destroys the testimony of Christ before the world. That destroys the testimony of Christ before the world. By this shall others know, shall all know, that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. And when that love is absent or is significantly reduced below the level that it ought to be, then the testimony of Christ before the world is held in low esteem, and Christians are failing to be ambassadors for Christ, servants of Christ, followers of Christ, disciples of Christ. They are failing to be salt and light in the world. They are failing to proclaim Christ to others, even though sometimes Christians think that they're doing all of those things because I am passing out tracts. I am witnessing. I leave a tract every time I leave a tip at a restaurant. I put tracts in my bills when I pay my bill. I talk to people about Christ. That's good. That's good. But how's your love quotient? How's your level of love toward other believers? Is it great? Is it obvious? Is it significant? Because if it isn't, then probably all the other things you are doing are being undermined by your low level of love. By this shall all know that you are my disciples. By this shall unconverted people know that you are Christians. By this shall people know that there is something important about being a follower of Jesus Christ. They will know that if you have love one for another. And no wonder, therefore, that when Paul, by the Spirit of God, gives us the ninefold fruit of the Spirit, he says it begins with love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, or kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Love. And indeed, that's what is taught to us all throughout the Word of God. Here's what Paul said in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Now that follows, of course, a list of other things. He said in verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also must you do. But above all these things, put on love. That's more important than any of the others. In this list in Colossians chapter 3, which in some respects sounds a good deal, like the list we're looking at in Galatians chapter 5, but in that list, Paul started with other things, and he concluded with love, but not because it was of lesser importance than the others. In this case, he saved the most important for last. He said, yes, these other things are important, but above all these things, put on love. In other words, love is first, even though I'm mentioning it last. And in Galatians chapter 5, love is first because it is mentioned first. And of course, that great chapter on love in 1 Corinthians 13 tells us exactly the same thing, doesn't it? You know how that goes. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become a sounding brass or clanging cymbal. I'm talking to some Christians who, either yourself or the Christians that you grew up among or are in fellowship with now, put tremendous premium on speaking with tongues. And many of them think that they speak, maybe you think this as well, speak in a devotional language, an angelic language, not even an earthly language. And so you practice this, but Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and I have not love, I'm become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Speaking with tongues is not the greatest manifestation of the work of the Spirit of God in your heart. That proves I'm a Spirit-filled Christian. No, what proves we're a Spirit-filled Christian is if we're manifesting a significant degree of the fruit of the Spirit. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? It starts with love. And Paul says the same thing here. He goes on in verse 2 to say, and though I have the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy. Whether you take that as a sign gift, a special gift to actually receive the Word of God directly, visions, understandings, communications directly, the gift of prophecy, or whether you take that simply to mean the ability to speak effectively in a public way. Either way, doesn't matter how you take it. The point is that if you do that without love or a low level of love, you're not really accomplishing what you think you are. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Do you begin to get the idea how important love is? The strategic position that love has in the plan of God and in the development of godliness in the lives of God's people? Love is first. Love is foremost. Love is most important. Love cannot be overlooked. It cannot be neglected. It cannot be minimized. It cannot be replaced with anything else. The greatest of these is love. And we need to understand that and act accordingly. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.